Well, happy day to you. My name is David Robert Jones, and this is the Awaken Engage podcast. Today's episode is titled Dropping Into Wholeness. Am I willing to drop into wholeness? You know, I get this image of diving into the water from a cliff, and then once in the water, being engulfed, surrounded, enfolded, enveloped. The sounds of the outer world are muted by the healing waters, and then we reemerge from that watery cocoon, ready for the next stage of life. Well, here's a little story. 2006, Emily and I traveled to Turkey, where I was speaking at a conference for interpersonal acceptance and rejection. Now, prior to the conference in Istanbul, we traveled south through Ephesus and down to Fethiye. While in Fethiye, we took a 3-day Mediterranean cruise on a small yacht. This was right before being kidnapped, but that's a story for another time. The Mediterranean story, if I can get your attention back from that other kidnapping story, is about defining moments on those beautiful Mediterranean waters. We shared our yacht with 4 Aussies who were all about having a really, really good time. At one point, the captain stopped about 100 feet from the shoreline, and he told us that the cliffs we were passing were wonderful for cliff diving. I'm all about having a little adventure, and I probably take more risks than Emily would like. But guys, these were very high cliffs. Cliffs in the 60 to 75, maybe higher, feet range. Now, the captain slowed the yacht, and one of the Aussies dove off and did a depth check. He signaled that all was good and for the rest of us to join him. Amidst some nervous laughter and no way utterances from our group, I decided to jump over the deck and swam to the shore, and then I followed the only other idiot on the boat who thought this was a good idea. We climbed up the backside of these cliffs, and I'll never forget, we stood looking out over the sea, our little yacht below us. The sun was bearing down. A gentle breeze nudged us closer to the edge. The Aussie waved to his friends, looked at me, smiled, let out a battle cry, and dove into the depths just like that. I crept close enough to the edge to see him disappear for a little while and then reemerge with a shout of exhilaration. My turn. As I stepped closer, I started to get cold feet. If you've done anything that has given you a heart freeze of fear and trepidation, you know that waiting around and thinking more about what you're afraid of doing is not really a recipe for success. But that's what I did. On this particular cliff, you couldn't just jump. You had to get a running start to clear the rocks that were directly below the cliff. Now, what if I slipped on the loose rock before taking off? What if the Aussie missed some underwater protrusion in his depth check? What if I got turned around in the air and landed harshly? What if my legs got split apart before hitting the water? What if? You know these moments, don't you? I mean, we all have them. They don't need to come from an imposing Mediterranean cliff jump. They're pretty subjective to the person. Maybe it's a fear of heights or spiders, being in groups of people, speaking in front of a group, a fear of dancing. Maybe it's the fear of being vulnerable with your partner or your spouse, or the fear of reaching out to an estranged friend and saying you're sorry. Maybe a fear of getting fired from your job if you do what is right. A fear of standing up to the workplace bully or rocking the boat. Maybe of leaving your job to chase that dream that you know you're supposed to chase. It's a fear of daring to let yourself dream of all. A fear of dying. Of losing possessions. Of trying for fear of failure. For the fear of failure, that business you started might not succeed. The fear of intimacy. Of others getting to know you. Of rejection. Of paper clips. Face it, you know, right now we do need a moment of levity because these fears are all too real. Maybe you are afraid of paperclips. Not to say that's a bad fear, just one that a lot of people don't have. Maybe you have a fear of meteors hitting the Earth, or a fear of war, a fear of being drafted into a war, of letting other people down, of not having what it takes, of growing distant from your children, of being a bad parent, living an unfulfilling life. Maybe it's a fear of missing your purpose in life, of not being loved or lovable. It's a fear of spending your days toiling in unfulfilling work or not getting better from a chronic illness. Knock, knock on my door. Fear of drowning. Fear of, we could go on, right? You fill in the blank for you. Our fears are highly personal, but we probably could put them in a handful of larger categories to which all of us can relate. And the point is that all of us face times in our lives when we're on the edge of a cliff of sorts. It's just too bad that we don't have a boat full of Aussies cheering us on, because they're really effective. With a lot of hooting and hollering that day, they lifted my eyes away from the fears. I turned from the cliff and I walked back about 10 steps. At this point, you couldn't see what you were jumping into. It's just a blue haze on the horizon. So muscles engaged, decision made, I launched my body over the edge. I vividly remember the lapse of time between jumping and hitting the water. I looked it up. Falling from a height of about 20 meters means I would only have been airborne for about 2 seconds, but I'd be moving at a speed of about 20 meters per second or 45 miles per hour. I am so glad that I did not have access to Google and the Splat calculator at that time. And I could definitely go further down the rabbit hole with a Splat calculator, because if you haven't seen it, it's really amazing. It does the math for you. But back on track. Back to those 2 seconds of amazing. Oh, they were exhilarating. Cortisol pumping, adrenaline flooding. So good. So good. And better every time I think of them. I could sum up one of the lessons from that day, one I repeatedly learned, with these words. We are afraid until we jump. Until we jump. And then, oh, yoo-hoo, wahoo, there is a sense of exhilaration as we free fall, followed by our entry into the waters. That total immersion, that moment, those moments, oh, now in the water, a type of silence. A new listening takes over. In the water, all the way in. Back to being submerged in fluid, just like we were in our mother's wombs. Kind of a type of homecoming. You know, if you've ever jumped into a body of water and been submerged, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever seen the film Big Fish, you'll remember the metaphor of water. And it's not uncommon in literature, classical or contemporary, to bring us back to healing waters, to jumping in, to being immersed, to coming back to where we started. In those moments of immersion, space and time feel different to our senses. We have a different perspective. We hear things that we haven't been able to hear. We see what we haven't been able to see. We feel what we haven't been able to feel. And we know what we haven't allowed ourselves to know. And then our lungs tell us it's time to rise. On that day on the Mediterranean, I floated back to the surface. I took in a delicious breath full of oxygen, and I basked in the cheer and laughter from our Aussie friends. Guys, I had dropped into wholeness. No, wholeness isn't about jumping off a cliff, I get it. But wholeness is always waiting for us. And no, I get it. Wholeness is not even the water, or that jumping, or the facing of fears. It's what we know when we are in sync with our lives, instead of trying to fight life, or run from life, or make life what we want it to be. Wholeness is what is always there waiting for us to come home. Facing our fears, diving off that cliff, being emotionally available and responsive to your loved ones, taking that next step toward your dreams, risking rejection, you know, these often put us in a place where we unexpectedly and thankfully drop into our wholeness. We use language in those times like, I feel so alive. I feel peace. I'm at peace. But these things themselves are not wholeness. They're conduits. Wholeness was and is and will always be there welcoming us. If we begin to use the conduit as a substitute for wholeness, we are destined to be imprisoned by it and then disappointed in it. Think of the adrenaline junkie or the guy who's trying to prove himself with greater and greater exploits, or the positioning and comparing on social media, our dependence on drugs, alcohol, other substances, the workaholic, the parent living life through their children, the student consumed with grades, and this list goes on and on. Wholeness isn't something we gain or earn or work for. It's just there. It's ready to be accessed. It's ready for us to drop into it and live from it. Maybe you feel like you've only had short glimpses of that. You know what it feels like to live from your wholeness, but right now you feel anything but whole. We are all in the same boat, friends. In my post-concussion, post-traumatic brain injury, post-concussion vision syndrome phase of life that I'm in, whole is not how others might describe my life. I have a lot of days when I feel sick all day long, when I can't drive, can't ride a bike, can't handle light, when debilitating headaches cross my eyes, and I have to lie down in a dark room with those eyes closed. I miss important events. I cancel meetings at the last minute. I disappoint my wife and my children. I'm not dependable. I'm not able to be consistent. Right now, I'm writing, recording, publishing this podcast using my iPhone and a Bluetooth keyboard because I can't engage with a computer screen. I've got my left eye closed so that I don't lose balance and get so sick that I can't continue. I take a lot of breaks. That doesn't sound or look like wholeness. It looks and sometimes feels a whole lot like life took a big old shit on me for the past 2 years. However, I've never lived a more abundant and meaningful and full and joyful and peaceful life than the one I'm living right now. Wow, the irony, the paradoxes of life. Through my brokenness, I somehow dropped into wholeness. Don't worry. I have, and I continue to fight against life, just like the rest of us. But those are the really bad days and moments. They lead me to break once again and to stop trying to make life do what I want it to. They lead me to acceptance and wholeness. Not resignation, but wholeness. And its ensuing wisdom, right action, and vibrancy. I don't have to go cliff diving or ride my bike or feel better or see better or make the ringing in my head stop to live a whole and full life. And neither do you. Friends, that is some kind of freedom. This is not a trite cognitive assent that you say to yourself and then all of a sudden you're in the sweet spot. It's a practice. It takes practice. I engage in the practice throughout every day because I have to in order to stay engaged with life and to be able to show up more and more. It's a practice that we all already know. Many of us have forgotten it. We filled our lives so full of noise and we're controlled by our egos to the extent that we are like puppets on our society's strings. It has taken brokenness to wake me up. But it doesn't have to be that way. for everyone or for you. Wholeness is really as close as your next breath. I know. Oh boy, the breath thing. Breath sensing and body sensing have become really in vogue. Maybe you're already too familiar with the ideas to engage with them anymore. And it's weird, isn't it? How familiarity has this way of breeding contempt. So if you need to, wait a bit, and I'm sure that they'll become less popular soon enough when people move on to the next fad. But as they have for thousands of years and will for thousands more, the practices that include breath sensing and body sensing have a very natural and instant way of bringing us home to our wholeness, of dropping us into wholeness. A practice called integrative restoration saved my life and connected me to life in a greater way than when life was going the way I wanted it to go. In future podcasts, I will provide specific examples, helpful how-tos, but for some instant access, you can just Google integrative restoration or go to www.irest.us. It has been such a life changer for me that I completed the first two levels of training. There were 2 5-day intensives in Southern California with Richard Miller, who founded this specific type of integrative restoration. And I'm now going through a certification program, which is feeling a whole lot like getting another master's. But if we go back to that story for a minute, standing on that Mediterranean cliff, I could not have predicted the future cliffs that I would face in my life. Nor can you. But wholeness is ready for you and me to drop into it right now. And it will always be ready. I'll finish today's podcast with a poem by Hafiz. If you haven't met Hafiz, I am so happy to introduce you. He's been a good friend to me in this season. This poem is titled, "So Many Gifts." There are so many gifts still unopened from your birthday. There are so many handcrafted presents that have been sent to you by God. The beloved does not mind repeating, "Everything I have is also yours." Please forgive Hafiz and the friend if we break into sweet laughter when your heart complains of being thirsty, when ages ago every cell in your soul capsized forever into this infinite golden sea. Indeed, a lover's pain is like holding one's breath too long in the middle of a vital performance, in the middle of one of creation's favorite songs. Indeed, a lover's pain is this sleeping when God just rolled over and gave you such a big good morning kiss. There are so many gifts, my dear, still unopened from your birthday. Friends, drop in. Wholeness is waiting. It's your birthright. Open a few of those unopened presents today. I'm sending you the best thoughts and wishes that you might have a wonder-filled day, fully present, fully alive. Peace.